Well, that sun is sort of rough on my eyes. Hey, open your Bible, please. The book of 1 John, chapter 2. My own brother Greg? All right. 1 John, please, chapter 2. Let me say this while you're turning. Please listen to what I'm fixing to say. Sunday night, I believe Sunday is the Lord's day. And there's nobody that would argue or anything like that about it. You wouldn't be argumentative about that. All right. There's this desensitizing that I don't like. People, they're doing away with their Sunday night services. They're doing away with their Wednesday night services. Now, I can't help how y'all feel, but I believe Wednesday night is important. We're living in a world that's all messed up. Today on the news, I have never seen so much news going on in my life about this virus. And I was telling Mike today, everybody's disinfecting everything, cleaning everything, using Clorox, using alcohol. Hey, do you see anybody cleaning their money up? Think about it just for a moment. Money's the nastiest stuff in the world. But you don't see nobody washing their money. But listen to this. If they go handle everything, clean everything. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think you ought to be, there's nothing wrong with being clean. But I'm saying money is the nastiest stuff in the world, but I don't see nobody talking about that. Now, go to the book of 1 John. I couldn't wait to get here tonight. 1 John, please, chapter 2. Read with me verse 20. Everybody, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 20. It's always an honor. I love coming down to Jordan. And crowds don't bother me. I appreciate you coming. But Jesus said, where there's two or three gathered, I'm in the midst of them. I love the breath of God. 1 John chapter 2, look in verse 20. You have an unction from the Holy One. Now, I want you, if you would, put a circle around the word unction. Do it for me. You have an unction with what? The Holy One. He says, and you know all things. Now, that don't lift you up with pride. That ought to take and humble you. Verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that hath the Son, he that acknowledgeth the Son, hath the Father also. Now, if you got the right kind of Bible, it's got italics. Now, look in verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Notice carefully. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Glory. Y'all could say glory right there. You were saying a moment ago about, I'll fly away. Now watch. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that do what? Seduce you. Now notice the word, the unction from on high. Now drop on down and look at your next verse and watch what it says. But the what? Anointing. Now won't you draw your arrow from the anointing right straight up to the unction. Do that. Just draw you an arrow, if you don't mind marking your Bible. Put you an arrow from the word unction and drop down to where it says in verse 27, but the anointing, he says, won't you do it, which you have received. I'm not an English major, but I know what the word you have received, I know what that means. Now watch this, which you have received. It's not how much you've got of the Holy Spirit, it's how much he's got of you. Are y'all taking Valium or Prozac or something? Let's go on. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, there it is, even and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Now look in verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. That word
You'll find, if you go through all five chapters, you'll find the word either knoweth, known, or knoweth over 40 some odd times. You'll find the word little children keep popping up over and over again. And you'll find the word born of him keeps popping up, popping up. Let me show you this. Go over, if you would, what did I say? The book of 1 John. I want you to watch this. Go to chapter 1 just for a moment. And I want you to go to the book of 1 John chapter 1. And I want to read to you, if you don't mind, in verses 1. Anybody here ever been audited by the federal government? Nobody? Well, Chris? Was you and Billy together then when y'all was audited? I'm asking for, or was you single? Okay. I'm telling you, that's one of the worst times of my life is when I got audited by the IRS. They threatened to take my car, my camper. They threatened to take liens on everything. A so-called Christian CPA ruined me. When I went into evangelism, I was so ignorant, I didn't know nothing. All I did was just do what they told me to do. Well, I did that, did exactly what he told me to do. I submit my worksheet, and the IRS, it sent red flags off, and so they don't like preachers, by the way, and they don't like churches. Don't edit this, because that's a fact. Let me get off that. Anyway, they audited me. I never got so depressed in my life fooling with this thing. I was in Mexico on a mission trip, and this man that they put me in the room with, I did not know him from Adam, and he was a CPA. And I mean a real knowledgeable man. Well, he was having problems with his family and with his daughter. And so he and I really connected, and we got really, close that week we was together. He said, if I can ever help you in any way, you call me. Get a hold of me. Well, remember, he didn't know I was going through this audit. I don't think there's no coincidence with the Lord that I was in the same room with a real knowledgeable CPA. So anyway, he agreed to help me when I submitted and told him what I was doing. Here's what he taught me. Who, what, when, where, how, and why. Now, if you ever get audited, look at me for a moment. Who, what, when, where, how, and why. Now, if you write them down, it'll help you. Let me show you what I mean. When you're reading your Bible, you ought to always do this. Who, what, when, where, how, and why. The Bible is a supernatural book. It's the antidote for your problems. All right, now who, what, when, where, how, and why. All right, he said, apply that to your accountant. And he says that you always, and so guess what I do? I log everything. I get receipts for everything. Who, what, when, where, how, and why. So if I ever get audited again, I'll just lay it down. Who, what, when, where, how, and why. All right, Jesse, I am for studying the Bible. Study and show thyself approved. I'm for that. Here's what I am for. How many of y'all ever read the Bible through in a year? Would you raise your hand? Well, that's a good thing. I'll say amen to that. That's a good thing to read your Bible through in a year. But I'll show you something better than that. When you read the book of Genesis, master it. Who, what, when, where, how, and why. Y'all didn't get that. You still ain't got it, have you? It's a good thing to read the Bible, read the Word of God. I believe systematically I ought to read it. But I'll tell you something better than that. When you ever get over to the book of 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles and forget who in the world 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel is about? Well, if you take who, what, when, where, how, and why and apply that, it'll help you to remember. Anybody ever got over to the book of Leviticus and forgot what you was reading about? Them Hebrew names is rough, buddy. I don't mind telling you, they're rough. I love the Bible. I love it. Chronologically, I love it. But who, what, when, where, how, and why. All right, in the book of 1 John, look in verse 1. Look in verse 1. I want you to watch. We're talking about John. We know that this, let's talk a minute. Let's talk a minute. Who, what John is this here in 1 John? Who is that? Who is it? Who is John writing? Who is it, Chris? I said who, what, when, where, how, and why, didn't I? All right, you got John the Baptist. That's not John the Baptist. You have John the Beloved. Is that John the Beloved? Well, who is it?
It's the son of Zebedee.
Look in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. There's the word we. Now I want you to watch. Which we have heard from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. For we, all right, when you're reading your Bible, you ought to always, who is the we, Claire? This is John the Beloved. If you go back up and look in your subtopic up here, the Apostle John, he's the one that had he leaned his head upon the breast of the Son of God. Did you know that now they got these ungodly Bibles, perverted things coming out, saying that Jesus had homosexuality traits by letting John lean on his breast? Is that not awful, Kelly? I hope that never confronts me in my lifetime. Please write this down right quick. Who, what, when, where, how, and why. Now watch John. Watch what he says. Look on your Bible. For when the life was manifested, look in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard and declare unto you. He goes on to say this, and you need to get this down. When I go back to chapter 2. Look in your Bible, please. I want you to put this down. So we find this is John the Apostle, and guess what he's doing? He's writing it, and he's writing to, and I believe this all my heart, and so 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the book of St. John, it must be important if he wrote all them books, amen. Any of the Bible's important. Go back to 1 John 2. I want you to watch now. I got to thinking about, I was telling Mike, I got to reading these old books, and I've got all kinds of old Puritan books, and I love them. But I'll be honest with you, they wasn't always right. That throws people for a mile when you say that. I never dreamed it. D.L. Moody, I never dreamed in my... How many of y'all ever heard of D.L. Moody? I never dreamed that D.L. Moody believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But according to an 1870 book that I've got, he did believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Kelly, the moment you got saved, Mr. Terry, look at me for a moment. The moment you got saved, the Holy Ghost came within inside of you and sealed you. Are y'all listening? And he sealed you. It's not how much you got of him, it's how much he's got of you. Now, all right, now we're living in this sin benign world of complacency and apathy and indifference. All right, this is the reason why I said Wednesday night is so important. The word of God, everybody knows you. I've got little old Preston Gage, my little great grandson that I love more than life itself. That little boy cannot wait for his grandma. Mary can say, Preston, are you hungry? He'll start smacking his lips. And she can take that little boy and put him in the high chair, put the thing around him, put a bib on him. That boy is ready to eat. I go buy him ice creams all the time and give it to him. I love it. But look, let me watch it. I'm going to ruin yours too. But watch this. Please listen to me. There will come a time that little Preston will get him a spoon and start feeding his own self. You don't need to be baby fed all of your life. You don't need that. Okay, now watch. I got to show you. Go back up to your Bible and look in verse 20. Raise your Bible up. I want to see how many of y'all got. I want to show you this. Junior, so therefore, my dear brother, you have the same access to the Word of God as I have. You got it too, sis. Everybody's got a Bible. If you don't have it, we'll get you one. All right. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. A healthy baby will grow. Let me say that again. A healthy baby will grow. If it's getting the right kind of nutrients, it'll grow. You don't look too bad there, Hoss. About 200 plus. Okay, how come it is today, Kelly, explain to me how that people say they're saved, going to heaven, and have no spiritual hunger about them. Explain that to me. Explain to me how, I don't know how y'all are, but I just have to tell you, he can go without food all day long. I can't do that. If I go without food all day, Kelly, my hands will start shaking. They wear me out about 2 o'clock. I just give out. But I'm just saying, spiritually, when you get malnutrition, you need our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpa's sister, Hope, listen to me. They did not have college degrees. They didn't have all the preachers, all they had was God's anointing upon their life. Right. Most of them, Kelly, didn't have fourth and fifth grade educations. How could they preach the way they do? How could they have, it was called the unction of God and the anointing of God. They wasn't filled up with pride or egotistical. Amen, sister.
Right. That's
good. Lord, y'all's faces. Go back and look what it says, but you have an unction from the Holy One. That's to every saved person. You can have the anointing. You can have the unction. It's yours to have. Please, I got to show you this. I'm going to stay on my subject. Back up, if you would, please, and drop down to verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Well, I got to thinking. We need more energy, spiritual energy. I got so vexed, I told, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. They said tomorrow after work in Lexington, everywhere they're going to get off of work and everybody's taking off on Friday and they're all going to go to Nashville. Not down there to help them poor people that went through a terrible tornado, but to go to a UK basketball game. And they're all going to just, they said, the bars will be open, the restaurants will be open, and they'll just bleed blue. Well, people's got energy to go to a basketball game, say amen. How come it is that the church houses, you can't even get them on Sunday night to even come?
Right.
How about Wednesday night?
Right.
No spiritual energy, none whatsoever.
Right.
I don't understand this. I do understand it too. The world is so creeped into people's lives, and they're complacent, they're filled with apathy, they're filled with indifference. And I'll be honest with you, a whole lot of people like it when the church house's doors close. They like it that way they can party or do whatever they want to do. Oh, Lord, help us. I'm going to preach it. It takes me all night. Go back to the book, if you would, please. The anointing, which the need of this hour is the unction of God. Let me say that again. The need of this hour, presently, is the unction of God. Let me look up here, me, sis. My grandma, she was probably in her 70s, what I'm fixed to tell you. She and I, when I lived with my grandma, and I loved my grandmother. Do y'all remember what printed dresses was? You don't. They used to take flour sacks, 50-pound sacks of flour, and it'd be little printed, they'd wash it, flatten it out, iron it, and they'd make dresses out of it. Let me say that again. They made flour sack dresses. Now watch this, watch. My grandma did not know what pantyhose was. My grandma would carry a purse, so help me. I'd go right beside her and barefooted a lot of times and go to church. I was a little boy. But we would sit down in the church and I'd watch my grandma. I didn't know what in the name of heaven was going on, but if my grandma got real itchy like this and she started reaching for that purse, you better get out of her way. She'd take that purse and swing it around her head and holler glory and praise God. Give me your purse. Ain't nobody got a purse. Give me this. She's going to zip it up and make sure nothing comes out of it. But my, whoo! I got it. I'll get back. But honestly, before God, she'd get real nervous and she'd swing that thing around. I ain't going to hit you. She would have a spell. Look at me for a moment. You talk about losing your dignity. Oh, preacher, sister, I would never do that. If you ever let God, the Holy Ghost, breathe upon you, you might do that. If you ever receive that unction from on high and realize where you're at and what, I mean, if you get a hold of this tonight, it would change the environment of this church. If you get a hold of it, are you listening to me? It'd change the environment of your home. People need that unction. Housewives, I mean, listen, I'll never forget Grady Lemons to the day I die. Do you remember Grady? I loved him. He knew more about God than I'll ever learn in my life. He was on that big station down, that great big Gaffney station in South Carolina. Been on that radio for years and years and years. He got a letter from these people that said, I want you at my house tomorrow at 10 o'clock in Spartanburg. Brother Grady packs up and he said, I'm going to make sure I'm there at 10 o'clock, because he didn't know what the name of heaven is about. He gets there at 10 o'clock, knocks on the door. The woman comes to the door, and he asked about the man. He said he worked second shift. And about that time, this man come walking down the hall, and he came to the door, and he said, "Come on in, Brother Grady, come on in, come on in." Said, "I listen to you all the time on radio." But he said, "I want you to tone it down." Brother Grady said he didn't know whether he was going to be rebuked or what. He said, "I want you to tone it down a little bit." And he took Brother Grady, said, "Come on in the kitchen." And took him in the kitchen. And this, he said, "My wife will get to listen to you on the radio. And she's kneading dough. And she'll get to happy in the Lord and slings dough all over the ceiling." Now, y'all may think that's humorous. But she gets so happy in the Lord that she literally just sling dough all over the ceiling. There's been a few times in my life that I've been close to God in revival meetings, and sometimes at the steering wheel of my car, there's been a few times it's been that way with me. And I love it when it gets that way. Oh, I get cold chills all over me. There's a new enthusiasm. There's a new energy. There's a new everything when God breathes upon you. That's what we need. Show you. Let's go back. The need of the hour is God's unction. What do you mean, Brother Sisson? The presence of God, the power of God Almighty. You used to hear people say, "God Almighty." That's not cursing. It just means that God's God Almighty and Almighty. Amen. There's no power that can stand within the stands of God. Not only the second thing, now listen to this, the motive ought to be pure. When you say some preachers, listen to me, look at my eyes. They want the power, they want the unction, but they want it for self-glory.
Right.
Your motive has to be pure. We got in this discussion and went down to pay a bill at Lumber King. Good bunch of people. Several of them that are talking. They got to talking about how witnessing to people. There's some people that I can't witness to. But you've got gifts that I've got that I haven't got. You've got gifts that I don't have. One of them is listen to this. When you're talking and witnessing to people, you need God to breathe upon you to tell them exactly. Have you ever thought about it? You're looking at a person that's an eternal individual that's going to live somewhere in heaven or hell. You need to, God, the motive ought to be that I want to tell this individual what Jesus did on the cross. That ought to be your motive. Not that somebody would brag on you or whatever, but that person is an eternal being.
Yeah. Right.
And that you're fulfilling what God put you here for. Amen, sister. Let me show you what I mean. Keep your finger there and flip over to the book of 2 Corinthians with me right quick, hurriedly. Brother Sisson, all right, if God called you, amen, sister, and God chose you, listen to me for a moment, look at me, does he not own you? Can't God do with you what he wants to do with you, Hope? He can do whatever he wants to do with you. Well, that's a mouthful when you hear that, when you say that. That's a mouthful when you say that, God, he owns me. Don't he have a right sometime to pull the rug out from under you if he owns you? If he owns you lock, stock, and barrel, and all things work together for the good, then what ought to be all of your motive for standing up on this planet Earth? Your motive ought not be for more money or bigger things or bigger this. I told my boy, bless his heart, he's really concerned about they've got these, they paid for him a trip. What do you call them luxury liners? Cruises, okay. It was all paid for, plane fare and everything. Now, he's really concerned about it, and I told him on the phone, I said, think about it for a moment. What if you get out there in the ocean and one person's on board with that coronavirus? They're going to quarantine the whole ship, and you're going to have to stay there. Think about that for a moment. Hey, and then when you get off, you're going to have to go somewhere else for a period of time. All right, look at me for a moment. The boy has got these gifts, and I plead with God. I beg the Lord. I said, God, let him come to his senses. Amen. Let me show you what I mean. Go to 2 Corinthians 7. Look in verse 1.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, that's those that's out of the same womb. Dearly beloved, let us, there's that word, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. How many of y'all see that? How many of y'all see it? Let us cleanse ourselves. Now what? Perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. You don't even hear people even talk about holiness anymore. Be ye holy as I am holy. So that in 1 John 2, he says, the unction which you have received, or the anointing which you have received, that's for every one of us that's born again believers. You can have as much of God as you want of God. But I tell you, your motive has got to be right. Let me show you. You need to get this. The need, oh yes, unction. And then the motive must be pure to love God, love the brethren, love the lost, love the house of God, love the things of God. But you don't see people loving the things of God anymore. Flip over back to 1 John 2 just for a moment. I want you to go back. If God ever uses you in any capacity to win one person to Christ, you will never be the same. Let me say that again. If you're an instrument in the hands of God to ever win one person to Christ, you will never be the same. That's the reason why 50 years ago, things are totally different than it is now. When you was having revival meetings, they used to have two or three. I've held a lot of 2 weeks revival here when we was over at Jordan, or you know, over in Burnside. But look at me for a moment. We used to I preached a lot of meetings when I was down in Russell County. We'd have morning services and night services, and they would be more people at the morning service than they wouldn't be at the night service. And the farmers they would never start their combines or tractors until the services was over. Now they couldn't care less. Amen, sister. You don't hear about 2 or 3 week revival meetings anymore. Nobody has a hunger for it anymore. All right, what is wrong? It's called the unction of God or the anointing of God. Churches ought to crave the unction and the anointing. They ought to crave it. Everybody in here ought to crave it. Well, I mean, just crave it. I mean, dear God, on Sunday morning, and everything will change. When the breath of God comes, everything picks up. Amen. Right. Song service, the choir. Boy, the choir did a good job Sunday. Man alive, y'all ought to do that more. Say amen. Oh, go on, I'm going to beat y'all half to death. Let's go back to 1 John 2. Brother Sisson, the need of the hour is unction, and then the motive, it's got to be pure. Third thing, the price. The anointing is what? It's the anointing, what's the right adjective? It's free, but it's not cheap. You got to be willing to pay the price. I'm honest with you, I get sort of vexed over this. I can't find what I'm looking for. I go into churches, and so help me, they'll take one of these rostrums, their Sunday school things, and they'll drag it across the floor. Have y'all ever seen them do that? They don't even have enough energy to pick it up, they'll drag the thing like this. And it's what they'll say. Now, I know there's people here can do a better job than I can do. I want to sit down and let them do it then. So help me. Their eyes is bloodshot from watching television half the night or whatever they watch. Probably a basketball game. And then so help me when about 10 minutes till they'll do this. You wonder if I'm ever going to get over here. I'm telling you, but they got energy for everything under the heaven other than the things of God. How many of y'all have ever been to a cottage prayer meeting? Cottage prayer meeting. Don't know what I'm talking about? We used to have them on Friday, on the week before revival meeting at everybody's homes. We'd have people getting saved, Chris. Man, hey, come in on Sunday morning and start revival meeting, Junior, and the breath of God just be ever all over that place. And they'd come down the aisle and say, I got saved Friday night, or I got saved Thursday night at the prayer meeting. Lord Jesus, I'm about to freeze to death. But watch this, the anointing and the unction. It's the price. I thought about it. Have you ever
I wish I had the right words to say this. You gotta, God searches the heart. He knows what's in us. But I'm saying the unction and the anointing, it has to have a clean heart to abide there. But people don't want to pay that price. Never seen anything like, I go to this church, oh my dear God, you talk about a church. They probably got 45 or 50 young people, and they'll bring the roof down. I mean, literally, they'll just, it's unbelievable when that young people sing what it does. But guess what? I've watched them over the years. Now then, they're all young people's merit. They come up in the church. I've been there every year. I've seen them. They're adults. Some of them got little babies, young, been married in the church, got little babies, and they'll take the little babies in their arms and go to the choir with them while they're singing. And I think, boy, to have a whole bunch of young people that just love God like that, and got parents that want to love God. But I thought about the price. The anointing is free, but it's not cheap. Then I thought about the purpose. It energizes the Word of God. Do y'all ever just get happy in the Lord? Do you really? Do you ever just get happy in the Lord? Yes, do you ever do that upon one of them things that you're on top of? Be careful. But the anointing and the unction, it energizes this book. There's sometimes, Rick, that I cannot wait. I get me a cup of fresh coffee, Hope. Fresh coffee. Not instant Hope. You probably like old Coke. Blech. You know what my idea of going to heaven is, Chris? And then tripping over our seas. But listen to me for a moment. Do y'all ever just get real hungry? And you just get to reading and you just can't put it down. It's God's love letter. And the more you read, the more you absorb, and the more God shows you. And you just keep turning page after page after page. And you get lost in time. I think we're all way too in much of a hurry.
Right.
About time you learn how to live, it's time to die. You know, I told a man over there today, and this is a God's, there's an old adage that said, you don't appreciate the water till the well goes dry. I've never heard it except in Kentucky. How many of y'all heard that saying? You don't appreciate the water till the well goes dry. All right. Why does it have to take a coffin? Why does it have to take everything dead, dried up? And you'd say, look back and say, boy, look how good we had it. Okay, 1 John 2, this is going to get really good. The cream's going to come to the top. The price, the anointing is, but I thought about the purpose. Did you know, I live under the guise that I want the Lord to be pleased with my life when it's all over. And I realize that could be in a millisecond. Well, my motive, I think, I love people, I love the gospel. But let's go back. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Well, that's what tripped my thinking. And I thought about to enlighten us, to empower us. There's no limit to the power of true unction. I mean, nothing can stand before it. Did you let me, Jess, they said that in Nashville there was 140 miles sustained winds. Anybody here ever been in 140 miles sustained winds? Son, that's a wind. Look at y'all's faces. I've worked in a couple of tornadoes. It's the most devastating. You wait till you get with a National Guard soldier, one standing here, and he's got a weapon in his arms, and it's off safety, and it's hot. Usually right after the tornado, it's always hot. And we was working in Arlington Heights, and we was turning over. We went through a trailer park, and it just devastated it. And you smell that old dead, putrefying smell, and you don't know if it's a human or if it's a cat or a dog or what it is. You turn the metal over, and they got bodies, people that are missing. Do y'all understand the havocness of that? I'm telling you the truth. When you think about 140 mile sustained wind, look at me for a moment. But I thought about the anointing of God and the unction of God. That ain't nothing compared. There ain't nothing can stand before that breath of God.
Right.
Nothing. I don't care what it is. I've seen God cut down old hardened sinners. Oh, my. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Let's go back to the purpose of it. What is it, Brother Sisson? It's him literally possessing everything we have. And listen to me. That's not, you don't find very many people that's totally filled. Have you ever listened to the command of God? He commands us to be filled. But yet we're anemic. It's not because that we don't have the resources. But then I thought about this. Go with me right quick, Hurley, to the book of Isaiah. What time is it? I don't know what time. Go with me. Isaiah, please, chapter 10. The need of the hour is the unction of God. And then the motive, it ought to be pure, to love God and to love the burden and to love the lost. But then glorify the Lord Jesus. And then the price, the anointing is free but not cheap. But then I thought about the purpose. It energizes. Then I thought about the product. The unction brings life out of death. Look in Isaiah chapter 10 and look in verse 27. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, his yoke from off thy neck. And watch this. The yoke shall be destroyed because of what? Because of the anointing. The older people, and I keep going back to that, they had something that I sure hunger for. There's a man, let me look at me, everybody. Back in the 70s, there's a man by the name of Melvin Atwood. When I first met him, he's in his latter 60s. He's probably close to 70. He could not read nor write his name. I wish you could see how he lived. He lived across a creek and he rode a horse. He never driven, but he rode a horse. He trained that horse, you could pinch him like this, and that horse would stretch out. And Mel would get up pulling that horse and riding across the creek. They lived in the most simplest of little old house. Back in the 70s, it wasn't like it is now. They'd be 8 or 10 people get saved every time in revival services or the services. I baptized 25 or 30 on the creek banks. Everybody thought, Brother Sisson, in fact, we averaged over 250 back in the 70s in a new building. But it wasn't the preaching. It was a man, there's 3 or 4 of these men in that church. Melvin would weep all the time. He'd just cry. But let me tell you what I done. He couldn't read, but I got him. That's when tapes come out, New Testament tapes. Do y'all remember them? On cassettes? I got him a set of New Testament cassettes, and he literally wore them out. His wife showed him how to use a recorder. He would rewind it, put it on play, rewind it, put it on play. Melvin could, if I preached, he could say, oh. That's how he talked, oh. And he'd say, oh, that thrilled my soul. What? Now remember, he couldn't read nor write his name, but he memorized the Word of God. And the biggest portion of those people that got saved, I attribute to a man by the name of Melvin Atwood. Folks, listen to me. The services, we'd have the altars would be filled with people. And everybody would be going out the doors. And Melvin would bring somebody to me crying. Just tears dripping down off of his chin. He'd say, Brother Sisson, this man ain't saved. And he wants to be saved. Brother Sisson, you show him how to be saved. Whew, Lord Jesus, help us. Can you imagine that? Time after time after time again, he'd bring them to me. You'd see him get saved. But he couldn't read his name. In fact, I used to fill out the check. I'd fill out the checks and he'd put his mark on there for his signature. Come on, perk up. But think about all of the souls that he had been instrumental in winning to God because of his tears. There wasn't very few people could stand up underneath that river of tears. Brother, we have lost our tears. But it says the anointing, back in Isaiah 10, verse 27, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Boy, we ought to want the presence of God. We ought to want the power of God. We ought to hunger for it. You take 150 people, I'll get to hungering for the presence of God and the power of God. And I mean, want our lives, we want that anointing and we want that unction upon our life. It changed everything. Right. Yeah, when the pianos would play, change that. When the song leader, change that. I mean, everything, the specials, the preaching, everything it would change. Boy, that's what I hunger for it, Lisa. God knows I do. I hunger for it in our lives one more time. You know what a guy told me the other day, and I love this. Do Do you work in electric? You electrician? Ain't that 110? Somewhere there's a 220 in here. On outside there, there's a capacitor that's what, got 440? Ain't that right, Jess? And then beyond that, it's got 1,200 volts. And somewhere beyond that, it's got a place that's generating electricity that's untold amperage. All we have to do is get plugged in. Y'all are pitiful. All we have to do is just get plugged in. My wife put a fan down at the cabin, and when we was putting the electric in, the backhoe clipped one of the lines. So over 8 or 9 years, he clipped the line, and it's just broke in two. Well, that only meant it only had one lug, and it didn't have 110. And that fan that used to go real fast, it'd just go whoom, 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 whoom. I said, that's a Baptist fan. So I fixed it. I run all the electric down there, and now it says, folks, I'll be honest with you. Listen to me. Y'all may think that's humorous, but we ought to hunger for the presence of God in our homes and in our lives, in our witnessing, in our studying the Word of God. We ought to hunger for it. That's the reason why Wednesday night is so important. Let's stand, bow our heads, please. You preach different. You sing different. You worship different. Worship becomes enjoyable when you get that anointing and that unction upon your life. Work becomes pleasurable. Your attitude changes. You treat people different. I'm wondering tonight with our heads bowed, how many of you would covenant with me together that, Brother Sisson, I want that anointing and unction upon my life. Would you just tip your hand up? Oh, looky there. God bless your heart. All over this building. Father, I love you from the depths of my heart. God, I crave, oh Lord Jesus, I crave, I hunger for that unction upon our lives. And I'm fearful that sometimes in our life, Lord, I'm just not willing to pay the price. God, help us to see that souls, Lord, it's white in the harvest and the labors are few. Lord, we sure do need that unction and that it breaks the yoke upon our lives. Help us tonight, Lord, bless every hand that was raised. You see the need. But if there's one here tonight unsaved, oh God, please give them back that hunger, Lord, that your people, give them back that desire to want to please you. More than anything in the world, help us to hear the words, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.